innercitygeeks.net.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the InterStage Podcast. It's Steve here, and this is episode 318. Wow. Joining me today, I got Brian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yeah. It's just us two today. Granted, I kind of didn't tell Alex about it today, but
yeah,
it's okay. It's okay. We could just do this. We could do this ourselves. We've been doing this the show for ourselves for quite some time. So
quite some time.
Yeah. So why not? So how you doing, dude?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm fucking great. I feel alive now. Granted, yes, I am tired as fuck right now. But as far as last week, I was kind of not feeling too great because I was a little bit under the weather. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed as we were recording, I wasn't feeling too great, but I still did it. And I still made it through. But yeah, I'm like about 100% now, so I feel good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Granted, I got home from the gym like around, what was it, like 7 or so. Took a quick shower. Then almost passed out, actually, after I got out the shower. And I was like, oh, no, I got to eat something to record. I was like, okay, yeah, so yeah, that was that for the day. But it's all good, though. It's all good, though. I have a whole weekend of sleeping now until Monday, because Monday's going to be a long-ass day.
Hooray for long-ass days.
Yeah, because it's the regular work stuff, and then I'm going to leave early to go work the stadium for the wild card game for the Bucks,
which should be...
Yeah. This could be the do or die game for their season. Hmm. If they win this on Monday, they actually further on into the playoffs. But if they lose, they're done for the season. So hopefully they win so that way I can get more money. But
yeah.
But seeing the way that they've been playing, and also the fact that they have a losing record in the thing, like they're the best team of the worst fucking division. They're the best of the worst. It's fucking hilarious. I think they're what, like 8-9 or something like that.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Or no. I think it's 8-8. Yeah, 8-8. Yeah, and the season is just about over until the wild card game that's happening this weekend. And yeah, so we'll just have to see. Hopefully they win so I can get some more monies. But if not, it'll be okay because I got other ways to make monies anyway, so it's all good. Plus, there'll be more shit going on in the stadium after that anyway, so I think after that is a Monster Jam happening shortly after.
Hooray! More monster trucks.
Yeah. Dude, that shit is fun, dude.
You hillbilly.
Whatever, dude. I know it's some WP shit, but it's fucking it's exciting shit. It's entertaining, dude. Like, I've never thought that I'd be fucking excited for trucks making noise and flipping and exploding and shit. Not necessarily exploding, but the flips and shit are fucking crazy. Because these trucks, like, you stand next to them, you're like a minuscule person next to a fucking monster truck. Because the fuckers are huge, dude.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah. But they're still fun. It's really entertaining, especially seeing like the kids being there super excited for it and everything. And I'm usually in the same section, so like I'll see it's a good spot. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen like my Twitter or whatever. I post things from time to time about the stadium and shit. And you'll see my section, and that's the section that I'm pretty much at 98% of the time, unless it's like a concert or something, because that section usually closed off for the concerts and stuff. But yeah, that's my section. That's my spot. And it looks fucking awesome. It's a great spot. It's a great view of everything, especially the football games. But yeah, it's good shit.
Good stuff.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. So what's going on, dude? What's what you been up to this week?
This week's been a bit of a carnival ride. I suffered from vertigo for the first time in ever.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So last Thursday we recorded.
Yeah.
And then I went to bed around, I don't know, 11:40.
Mm-hmm.
Passed right out, which I don't often do. Mm-hmm. And then around 1 o'clock, I woke up going, wow, this room's spinning.
Oh, that's not good.
No, not good at all. And so the room was spinning, and I laid back down, closed my eyes. But nothing was working. And then I opened my eyes again 2 minutes later. I'm like, wow, this thing is still spinning.
Uh-oh, dude.
And then I ran to the bathroom and let it all come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to bed, and it wasn't spinning as much. But then, like, I went to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, 2 hours into my job, I'm like, yo, I got to go home. Because the whole fucking world is spinning.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
Did you figure out what it was, the cause of it all?
I mean, vertigo runs in my family.
Okay.
Could also be stress.
Well, yeah, fair.
And then, like, and what's crazy is that Friday morning before I went to work, I had a good day. I had a massive toy hunt. Solid. I found, and reviews will be coming at some point in the month.
Nice.
I found Marvel Legends Hawkeye, Marvel Legends Kate Bishop,
yeah.
Marvel Legends She-Hulk, all from the shows.
Yeah, and they look fucking dope, dude, because you sent me pictures of them, and they look fucking awesome.
Yeah, and sorry, y'all, Hawkeye did not come with Snowplow.
Boo.
And, yo, Jeremy Renner is fucking crushing his progress goals. You seen this shit?
No, I did not. What is it?
He's
like, I know he was like, sick and shit, and then he wound up in the hospital and stuff.
Well...
Or other than that is what you're saying.
Jeremy Renner saved somebody, right? And got run over by a 14,000-pound snowplow.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. His leg had to be tourniqueted by his neighbor, who happened to be a surgeon.
Okay. And I guess it's one of those right place, right time type things, huh?
Yeah. And so... Jeremy Renner, his family is saying that he is crushing progress goals.
That's awesome.
So, like, he's a real life superhero and only has a bow and arrow.
Yeah, that's pretty dope, though.
You know, yes, I'm so happy that he's actually fucking pushing his limits, and it's great. And he and Colin Farrell are friends again.
Oh yeah,
they hadn't really spoken since SWAT,
which is a fun fucking movie. People shit on it.
It's a fun fucking movie, and it's starring, it's basically starring Nick Fury and Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot that Renner was in that one.
That's the first thing I saw Renner in, actually.
Okay.
And so I grabbed all these figures. I got the blue shirt version of Obi-Wan from Kenobi.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I bought Vader from Kenobi, even though it's the same figure as other previous release figures.
Nice. Okay.
And then also that weekend, I caved and I got I bought CM Punk and MJF from the current lineup of AEW figures.
Dude, that CM Punk figure is not a bad figure.
It's not. I have heat on him.
Oh, no, that's completely understandable.
And for those listening, I said heat, not hate.
Yeah.
Because that whole shit is bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. But to get into a little bit of the wrestling shit, is that, like, he is willing to actually work through shit. He wants to work. He's like, I'm tired of the shit. Like I fucked up, yes. And I'm like, I want to fucking actually do things. So,
yeah.
Possibilities. Of him coming back are very, very, you know, it could happen. It could happen, which I'm not against. I'm not against.
Because adult mature CM Punk realizes, oh, I should not have done that.
Yeah.
It was a
I shouldn't have taken my fucking my anger out on something that didn't need to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of figures that are up for review. Nice. Then really like fast forward all week, I'm finally at I finally feel okay.
Nice. Good.
Yeah, it was a really shitty feeling to have. But despite feeling like shit, I watched a few things.
Nice.
As we do.
Oh yeah.
So as per your recommendation, I watched The Girl on the Third Floor.
Oh, yes, which is one of the movies that I actually watched for the Horror 365 challenge that I spoke about last week. Yes, this one is a doozy.
It was not the best acting in the world.
No, of course not. Did you expect fucking great acting?
It was really weird to see CM Punk drink beer and be a drunk guy.
Yeah.
Because Phil Brooks is a straight edge guy, as we all know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, hey, here's Punk holding a fucking, I guess that was supposed
to be a fucking... For all we know, it could have been an old duels.
Right. But to have him hold a beer and hear the twist of a cap, and like, oh. But yeah, was it a great movie? No. Was it fun?
Absolutely. Yes. I think so. I thought it was great.
It was all over the place.
Yeah.
It was like if Stevie Wonder wrote a fucking horror film.
That's perfectly fine with me.
You know, like, no, and not dissing on The Blind. It's a shitty thing to be. But in general, it's basically somebody who literally cannot see a script in front of them wrote this movie.
I wouldn't go that far.
It was also a little bit too long.
Yes, that I agree. I agree. It is a little too long.
It should have ended probably about 15, 20 minutes sooner.
Yeah.
Just
cut out a few things in between in the middle.
Yeah. But for the most part, it was a solid, shitty horror film.
Yeah.
So there's that. Today I just finished the latest episode in the National Treasure Edge of Tomorrow series.
Oh, nice, nice.
That show is it's so fucking good.
Nice. I gotta get into that. I cut it through Willow too.
I need to. I'm gonna wait for that to be done and then watch it.
Okay.
But then. Last week I told you guys that I watched The Menu. I told you I watched The Whale.
Mm-hmm.
This week I watched something that I've been looking forward to for a little while now. I watched The Pale Blue Eye with Christian Bale.
Oh yeah, how is that?
It adds to the list of the great cinema movies I've seen.
Okay.
So the story is there's murders going on in West Point during the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cadets in West Point is Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
And they're all trying to pin all these like gruesome things on Poe because he writes dark poetry.
Fair.
And the actor playing Poe comes from the Harry Potter franchise. But not being a Potter person, like just seeing him perform in this role, you're like, okay, this kid is fucking good. Okay. He's trying to push himself out of that franchise and be an actor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely recommend The Pale Blue Eye on Netflix. It's a little over 2 hours, but it's for that movie, it needed to be.
Okay.
And it told a really, really good story. And I'm like, okay, this is just really, really good. And then the only other movie I watched this week was Matthew Vaughn's The King's Man, which is okay. the prequel to Kingsman.
Oh, yeah. I watched that one, yeah.
And it was fun as fuck. Yeah. It took a lot of unexpected twists and turns. I was like, wait. Like, I mean, spoiler alert, when they killed the kid, I was in the war. Like, I was expecting Ralph Fiennes to be killed, and the kid was going to take over.
Like, no, sorry, buddy, sorry.
It's like, oh, hey,
yeah,
complete twist.
Yep.
And I really like that Aaron Taylor Johnson showed up in the third act.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that he and Matthew Vaughn are friends because of Kick-Ass.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice little, like, oh, nice. Okay.
Hell yeah.
That sounds cool. Yeah, and I haven't really watched anything else. I really haven't had time.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, aside from watching probably one of the best episodes of Dynamite last night.
Which was quite amazing.
Yeah, it was.
That was actually a really good episode of Dynamite. Like, I was like, okay, this is a good way to continue the flow of the year. And I'm like, okay, I like where this is going. Hopefully they continue the same pacing for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Because who knows?
And I know they have they have an event coming up here in Jersey in April. And I'm like, I think I might want to go.
You should.
I really, 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 I'm like 95% going, yep. Because, I mean, I'm tired of just seeing one per year. I've gone to two in my entire life. Technically, if you count the panel at Comic-Con.
Okay.
But
I wouldn't count it. Granted, yes, no. You did see everybody there, but it wasn't an actual wrestling.
Right. But I've only ever gone to Grand Slam, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and I'm just like, I really might just go, hey, I'm going to buy a ticket. And I don't care if I go. I really don't give a shit if I go on my own.
That's fair, dude. I want them to come to Tampa, dude. They haven't come out this way. They go to like fucking Jacksonville. That's fucking deep as hell. That's like a fucking 4-hour drive. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'll pass on that.
Well, I mean,
They came last year for Revolution over in Orlando, and where I went. I went to that one. But it doesn't look like they're coming over here anytime soon, and I'm sad. Granted, Tampa is technically like WWE territory, even though they have the Performance Center in Orlando. But this is kind of like their zone, because they've been here in the last, I'm gonna say, last 6 months or so. They've been here at least 4 different times.
Like, I mean,
the last SmackDown was here in Tampa of this last year.
I mean, at some point, they're going to own WWE anyway, so...
Who knows? It'd be interesting. It'd be great, though. I wouldn't mind. But what they should do, if he does wind up owning it, be like, you know, like, it's going to be two separate things. We're going to stay separate, but I'm going to own both of you bitches.
If Tony ends up buying WWE, right... I would love for Tony to be like, oh, you want that forbidden door, huh? Okay. Yes, please.
Yeah.
And have something like...
Just open that shit even more.
And that's when you would have like, you know, even get somebody like Reigns. Yeah. And be like, oh, Reigns versus Mox.
Fuck that, dude. Reigns against fucking Kenny Omega, dude. We already know Mox and him. They have a background. They have a history already. we know that they can go at it. They can do. They know each other in the ring, so they could put on a hell of a show. But I really want to see Reigns, because Reigns is good.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's only had like 12 matches last year, it's kind of like,
eh. What if you had like fucking Reigns and his
Usos.
Yeah. No. But what do they call like the whole faction?
Bloodline.
Right, yeah. See, that's how long it's been since I fucking cared.
It is called the Bloodline.
But like the Bloodline does their thing, and all of a sudden the fucking JAS shows up.
Eh.
You know what I mean? But
I get it. But see, I wouldn't be too excited for the JAS to show up, because it's like I'm not really a fan of that gimmick, that whole gimmick. I'm like,
fine. Then what if you had on Dynamite one night, MJF comes out, cuts a promo. And then from out of nowhere, you hear fucking John Cena's theme song.
And then you see nobody because he's not there.
He's not there.
Yeah, you can't see him.
You know what I mean? It's like, it'd be nice to have like things that you would not expect to actually fucking happen.
That would be great, dude. That would be great. That'll also completely cancel out the fact that MJF's been going with the whole fucking the bidding war of 2024. That's not gonna happen.
No.
But who knows?
I mean, the greatest thing I've seen recently was the fucking the meme I sent you was that if they got sold to Saudi Arabia, Uncle Howdy's now Uncle Saudi.
That'd be hilarious, dude. No, but from what they're saying, Saudi pretty much backed off. They're like, yeah, we're not gonna do anything with it. So I'm like, okay.
Well, I mean,
from what we've seen so far, we don't know. It's still early to find out exactly. But who knows? Who knows where all this shit goes?
Right, but I mean, you know, truthfully speaking, with the way the culture is out that way, if they did buy WWE, like, goodbye anything LGBTQ related
and women related
and women. Yeah. It'd be like, oh, there's no such thing as a women champion.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also that also puts in jeopardy fucking Sami Zayn, dude. Sami Zayn is one of those dudes that like, he is like, what was it? Syrian or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Syria and Iran have a lot of issues.
Oh yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why he doesn't go over there whenever they're in Saudi Arabia. And then also, not on top of that, like, you have dudes like Kevin Owens that stand behind him, and they're like, yo, like, I'm not going over there either, because, you know, I'm with Sammy. I'm go with that cause.
And those two have been best buds for like 25 years or more.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'd be interesting, because this whole Bloodline storyline is fucking insanely good, dude. It's one of my favorite things over there. Like, I watch it from time to time, but the main thing that sticks out, and the funny thing is that it's on both shows, is this whole Bloodline story, and it's nuts. So apparently, tomorrow on SmackDown, because of course today we're recording on Thursday. On SmackDown, it's going to be Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Which would be pretty interesting. I kind of want to see where that goes, because they've had plenty of matches before. I've seen plenty of their indie matches, which are fucking great. I've seen Kevin Owens against, or no, Kevin Steen against fucking El Generico.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I want to see where this goes, dude.
I remember being at a ROH show at Hammerstein, where on the card was it was the Bucks versus the Briscoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that same card was El Generico versus Steam. You know, and I'm just like, now all these guys have all pretty much just like
they've blown up.
They're blown up. I mean, the the Briscoes, they don't they stayed on the indie circuit, which is great for them, but they're like the kings of the indie circuit.
But the main, you know, the main reason why, though, right?
No,
the main reason why you don't see them on Dynamite and shit is because they've said some fucked up shit in the past. And the network's like, yo, like, we don't want them on TV. That's why you only see them on like the pay-per-views and shit.
So they kind of have the same reason why Brian Kendrick didn't appear.
In a sense, yeah. But also Brian Kendrick was like gonna get signed, but then he also said some real falseness and shit. He's talking some real false shit, dude. Like some real like shit talk. Like what the fuck, dude? Like shut the fuck up.
Well, and now he's back with WWE, so
right. Yeah, but the Briscoes, they said that they've changed their ways and they've you know tried to make better. But of course, the network's like, yeah, well, you had this in the past, so we're not gonna throw you into the TVs and stuff because, of course, you know that's not the face that we're looking for.
Right.
Fair. And that's cool. It's whatever. You know, that's what the network wants. That's what the network gets. But they're still fucking fantastic workers, and they're still everywhere, and they're still getting paid, whether they like it, people like it or not, they're still getting paid. So we'll see. We'll see them next time. What is it? Supercard of Honor. That's coming soon. That's supposed to be happening in LA as well. So, yeah, I think they announced it yesterday during the live show. Which is actually like we were talking about. It's a fun. It was a fun show. It was pretty cool seeing a former WWE writer in the crowd, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. And Ken Jeong was there, which is fucking dope.
You could see him on Dr. Ken. Oh, wait, you can't because show's been canceled.
Yeah. Hilarious. But then if you see a whole bunch of other people that you see, and like if you go on their Twitters and stuff like that, you see a bunch of other people. The dude with the long hair from fucking, Workaholics. He was there.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said former WWE superstar Chris Masters.
Yeah, Chris Masters was in the crowd. Yeah. Which is very cool because, like, you know, he's one of those dudes that, like, he was huge back in the day.
Yeah.
And it just disappeared.
Well, it was the whole scandal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because, no, he wasn't on roids or anything.
Yeah, he was a massive dude, but he was huge. He was huge. Like, he was really good back in the day. But yeah, he completely disappeared. But he was in the crowd. It was cool seeing him. Mark Maron, comedian Mark Maron was there. A bunch of people.
And I mean, and it was great seeing Paul Walter Hauser there.
Yeah. Paul, he's awesome. He's awesome. He's really cool. Like, it's cool that they actually gave him a whole segment on top of it.
Because he's such a wrestling nerd.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, we all know him from Stingray on Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
But the man has a career. I mean, shit. What was the fucking movie we watched last year with Kristen Bell where they were like scamming the fucking with the coupons?
Oh yes, I forgot the name of that movie.
But like, he was like the Paul Blart of coupons.
Mm-hmm. He was like the cop or whatever.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good actor, dude.
I mean, he wanted to be Chris Farley in a biopic,
and I'm totally for it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally for it. Like, I have no problem with that.
But you know, Paul Walter Hauser. No, it's Hauser.
He was in Cobra Kai. He was in the Queen Pins.
Queen Pins. That was the name of the movie, right?
Yeah. Queen Pins. Yeah. All the dude from the, Tim Robinson was there. You remember Tim Robinson, right? He has a show called I Think You Should Leave.
Ring the bell.
It's fucking hilarious. He's one of those dudes that was he did a bunch of shit before that, like, in writing he did a lot of writing for the show, and then people were just like, yeah, we don't really like you anymore, so they kicked him out. He was on Saturday Night Live. What the fuck? Yeah, he was a Saturday Night Live writer, and they didn't like him writing on SNL anymore, so he was like, fuck it, you gotta go do your own thing. And he wound up doing great. Like, if you ever see the show, I Think You Should Leave, it's fucking hilarious. It's one of those, like, awkward shows to watch, but they're so fucking funny. So yeah, definitely suggest check that shit out. He's also one of the Detroiters. He did the Detroiters too. Which is another show that came out a while ago. But yeah, those are fun. But yeah, I'm excited for AEW. I want to see what they're going to do. I want to see how they're going to continue next week. People were completely fucking sad yesterday because fucking What's-Her-Face didn't show up. Fucking Mercedes Moné didn't show up. Like, yeah. Did you really think she was going to be there? Even though, you know, Britt Baker did kind of hint at it, but not really. She did say she was the boss and then winked at the TV.
They're saving her for this. You didn't need her on there because they fucking surprised everybody with Adam Cole last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really did get a vibe of forced retirement.
For
Cole.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It felt like it.
Because, I mean, it had the same vibe. He comes out, good news, bad news situation. I'm like, oh, here we go. It's Edge all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I'm talking about his shoulder. And it's
big swerve.
Big swerve. And then, like, when he's like, and now for the bad news, and he looks down, and he's all depressed, and he goes, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. It's for the AEW locker room. I'm like, ooh. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's not, I mean, would I love to see Cole versus MJF for the title? Yes, but that's not going to happen right now. No. It's going to be, you need to have Danielson have a title run, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm. But you know Danielson is not going to win it in the first match.
No.
He's not going to win it at, what is it, Revolution is coming? He's not going to win it then.
No.
Which is sad because I'd love to see that, but it's gonna wind up being a huge fucking rubber match type shit, like best of three, and you wind up getting in the third match, you wind up winning it in fucking like Seattle again whenever they go back there.
Speaking of matches, though, the Bucks or the Elite versus Death Triangle, sick fucking match.
It was, but. But then again, every match that they've had so far in the seven series have been great. This match, though, in my opinion, and take it as you may, this match, even though it was the Escaleras de la Muerte, it wasn't the best match of the seven.
Oh, I'll agree with you. I feel like this match, because it was so late in the card.
Yeah.
It was fast paced and a little bit rushed.
Yeah.
Had this had been earlier in the evening or with more time allowed, there would have been a lot more carnage.
Yeah.
Because
honestly, what it was is that, like, MJF took forever with his promo.
Yeah.
That should push everything back even more.
But, like, having Omega do the one-winged angel from the ladder on a ladder, I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was good.
And fucking jet lag, too.
Yep.
I mean,
because he had an awesome match at fucking at Wrestle Kingdom against William Ospreay. Fucking so fantastic. That right there, William Ospreay versus Kenny Omega for the IWGP championship, US championship, is at this point in my opinion, again, my opinion, match of the fucking year.
I mean, that promo, so that promo alone that Ospreay cut leading into the match, where, like, from the heart was like, you know, I had to watch my best friend's funeral through a fucking laptop. And
she was crazy, dude.
Yeah, but like the fact that Omega now has two titles.
Yeah,
it's like
he's the belt collector again.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That
last year he had that. He had the IWGP title. He had the AEW title. He also had the Impact title, because remember that's when Impact was doing a bunch of things with AEW.
Yep.
I think he had one of the indies too. But yeah, he had a lot of titles. So we'll see how this goes now. If he's going to keep collecting belts.
Truthfully though, match of the night last night has to go to Mox versus Paige.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Absolutely.
That was a main event match. And it was the fucking opener.
Yeah. But if you really think about it, that's just how Mox's matches are.
Oh my god, yeah.
His matches are always top tier matches.
And I honestly was not expecting Paige to get the victory on that.
I was. I saw it coming, because you're not going to have somebody come off a fucking injury just to lose.
It's happened in the past, though.
Yeah, but not here in AEW. The hometown person is going to win, and people that's coming back from injury usually wind up winning.
And you can see, like, these two guys, I mean, you can see them trying not to break. And just going, like, how much more can we fucking give these fans?
Dude, the fact that fucking Mox raked him in the back when they were both on the fucking on the top rope, on the turnbuckle, he raked him in the back and then he bit him at the same time.
Yeah, who but does like
that? That is assault right there.
Yeah, but like when these two are on their knees and they're kind of just like smacking each other. Like, you could see the look in their eyes, like, fuck, how much more do we got? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, it's all a work, and it's all, they're all, like, actors in a TV show.
Absolutely.
But, like, these guys are going, like, how much more can we give these fans?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, and you could actually see genuine looks on Moxley when Paige got knocked out. Going like, oh shit, like, you know, I don't want you to die. Like, you're a good
man. Yeah. Which kind of at this point winds up having him become in sort of like regretful for what he's done.
Yeah.
Kind of basically like adding more to his, you know, his hipster fucking drunkenness and shit.
Yeah.
Kind of pushing him back just a little bit more. So we'll see. We'll see how this continues.
Like, yeah, we'll see what goes on. I mean, will there be a friendship that forms between this? You know, especially like Hangman left the ring, but like he didn't leave his side really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I thought it was great. Was like Doc Samson was like, hey, are you okay? And Moxie, you can see him go, did I win? and Doc was like, no. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. Really, really well done.
Yeah. Now, one of the best sells is during the Hookhausen match. Not the Hookhausen, the fucking the Jungle Hook and fucking Firm match. That was a fun little match. It wasn't great, but it was a fun match. But the best sell was when Big Bill gets pushed out and the fucking, or gets thrown out by fucking, suplexed by fucking by Hook. And he rolled out of the ring. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Sold the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
But I love that Jungle Boy is now with Hook.
But honestly, does Hook really need a partner? He doesn't.
No.
He doesn't need a partner. And also, at this point, Jungle Boy or Jack Perry, as they're going by his name now mostly, he needs a solo run. He needs to continue on a solo run without having to fall again into a whole tag team thing again. He doesn't need to. Yeah. His first 3 years, essentially, if you really think about it, his whole first 3 years, pretty much he's been in a tag team with Luchasaurus. Does he really need another partner to just fill in the void? No, just fucking let him do his own thing. Yes, he's a great tag team wrestler, but we need to see him shine as a solo person. So we'll see.
And he totally has a solo career in him because,
yeah,
I mean, Christian would not be working with them if he didn't see potential in Jack Perry.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, the only thing, he's good. He's really good in the ring. He just needs to work on his promos because he sucks at promos.
Yeah.
I could still give a fuck less about any promo that he says. So, yeah. That's kind of one of the reasons why I loved him with Christian. Like, the fact that they were together with Christian and he was the mouth of Jurassic Express was fucking fantastic. Because, of course, you had Luchasaurus, who has a PhD, didn't get to speak. And Jungle Boy, of course, he was essentially at the beginning kind of like a Tarzanish type person who didn't really say anything. Fair.
Wait, Luchasaurus has a PhD?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
In what?
I don't know exactly in what. But yeah, he does have like a PhD or something like that. Or like a master's or something. He's a smart dude.
Which, I mean, it's crazy because like it's great that like these independent stars that work for Tony Khan had a career in place in the, you know, just in case. Look at Britt Baker.
Yep.
She is still
a legit fucking dentist.
Yeah. Like, she still has a practice.
Yeah, he has a master's in medieval literature.
No shit.
Yeah. Yep. A master's in medieval literature, dude.
Meanwhile, he just wears a mask and has a painted tongue.
And he grunts. All he does is grunt.
Yeah.
Which is completely fair. He's like, I don't want to think about anything. I just want to fucking wrestle. I just want to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is cool. I'll take it. Because he's good at it too.
Like, if you look at guys like Jericho, if wrestling failed, he has a music career.
Yeah.
Amongst entrepreneurship and whatever.
But think about it like this, though. Would his music career have continued if his wrestling didn't go anywhere?
To a certain degree, I'd agree with you on that. But then, now he has a gold record.
Oh, no, and that's completely understandable. But
I also want...
Mostly because having a gold record is because he's gotten so many plays on that one song because of wrestling.
True, but he also Judas hit a Guinness record of plays on YouTube before he joined AEW.
Oh no, but that's completely understandable. It is because it is a great fucking song. Because it is a earworm of a song. It has all the things that check all the boxes for a pop hit.
Yes.
Absolutely. I have nothing wrong against that. It's a great song. I enjoy it. And whenever it plays, I sing along with the fucking thing. I love that song. But the fact that he's had such a huge career within the wrestling ring, and people see that, oh yeah, he is a wrestler, so he kind of knows how to entertain and stuff like that. That's what gives it more of a push, because he is the Jericho that we know.
Right, but he's also the Jericho that we didn't expect to know, because Fozzy was designed to be a parody of Ozzy.
No, I know. It's just a side gig. It's just a little fun side gig that, you know, blew up.
I mean, and then it became like, oh, YJ Stingers, you know? And then, like, Don't You Wish You Were Me, which was done by Fozzy on that that album of, you know, wrestling music.
Mm-hmm.
Although, truthfully, there's a track on that album which is still fucking dope, and it's by John Cena, and it's called Untouchables.
Okay.
And it's proof that John Cena had a career in him if he really, really wanted to do music.
Okay.
But also, if they would have let him do music.
Right.
Because, I mean, think about the era of John Cena.
Okay.
John Cena was there to fill the gap because guys like The Rock and Stone Cold were done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can't fault the, you know, the master of thugonomics, you know what I mean?
And you know, that his album's actually not half bad.
Okay.
It's not great. It's not the greatest rap album of all time.
You know what's funny though? We talk about rap albums by wrestlers. I was looking online, I was scrolling through Twitter, and it came up in my feed that it's been over 20 years since the Macho Man diss record came out.
Be a man, Hogan.
Yeah. Fucking hilarious, dude.
Paradise PD, which I'm shocked is still a cartoon on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
This season or part or whatever they call it now has done things like they're trying to get a millionaire to be the founder of their, or like the new, like the bank of their town.
Okay.
But,
is that a cartoon? Note,
Paradise PD is a cartoon.
Okay. I thought I was showing it for a second.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
There was one episode I watched where the two drug addicts, or the two crackheads of the town, they come into some money, and they buy and reincarnate the fucking bones of Macho Man.
That's hilarious. I was wondering where this tangent went. I was like, where are you going with this? Fair. So, I'll take it.
It's fucking great. It's so fucking great. I'm like, and the voice actor they got to play Macho Man, we're he talks like, you know, and he does the whole macho, and he does like basically trying to say how like crack is the best investment.
That's hilarious.
It's great.
That's funny as hell.
Uh-huh.
I like it. Even though, you know, Macho's impressions are very, they're not hard, but they're also not very easy either.
My friend John does a really great Macho Man impression. He's been doing it for years.
Okay.
And, like, he's spot on.
Yeah, dude that we had on the show previously, a few years ago, fucking, Danny, he does fucking the Macho Man impression, great. To the point that I had him doing the intros before with the Macho Man voice. Remember that shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's great is that, speaking of impressions, apparently Schwarzenegger is encouraging people to do bad impressions of him.
Which is completely fair because they're fucking hilarious. Get to the job.
You know, it's like, it's like there are countless times where, like, my brother and I, like, Billy, no. And then, like,
it's not a tumor.
But, like, my brother and I were, like, we would joke because, like, you know, remember, like, that one scene where Billy, like, cuts his chest?
Mm-hmm.
My brother is like, Billy, no. Billy, Billy, don't cut your chest. You know, like, just ad-libbing fucking lines.
Yeah. It's the best way to do it, dude. Well, if you really think about it, too, like, another band had fucking, like, a whole three albums worth of fucking just, what is it, fucking one-liners. Made three albums out of one-liners from his fucking career. Fucking Austrian Death Machine. Have you heard of them?
No.
Oh, they're great. They pretty much took all the one-liners that we know from fucking every single fucking movie that we've had with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they created a band and put lyrics to everything. So I definitely suggest you check out fucking Austria Death Machine. It's fucking great. Another huge fucking tangent. We just went all over the place again, which is perfectly fine.
Well, I mean, there was really not a lot of geek shit anyway this week.
No. I guess I can continue with the geeky shit that I geeked out on, that I've been geeking out on the horror shit. Because, of course, like I told you guys last week, I've been doing the Horror 365 Challenge, which is basically watching a horror movie every single day of the year. So 365 days of horror movies. As of this point right now, today is what? Today is the 12th of the year, of the month?
Yeah.
12 days into the year, and I am already at 19 movies as of today.
Jeepers.
So I've been doubling up from time to time. Whenever, like, I have a real shitty slow day at work, I'll watch another one. I'll watch one in the morning while nothing's really happening. And then I'll watch one in the evening when there's nothing really going on. So I'll do that from time to time.
Well, tomorrow being Friday the 13th, you need to watch a Friday the 13th movie.
I could, yes. That is essentially my plan, to watch at least two Friday the 13th movies tomorrow. So yes, probably even Freddy versus Jason.
I say Freddy versus Jason and Jason X.
Oh,
the two worst ones in the fucking franchise.
Yeah. No. You know what? I'll do Freddy versus Jason, right? And then I'll also do Jason Does Manhattan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a remake of that movie? Jason. It's like Jason takes Manhattan and Jason's like, the fuck happened to Times Square?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take it. I need it.
Just like, if you go back and rewatch that movie, I mean, forgetting about all the other reasons why it's just a terrible film, but like, when Jason's walking through Times Square, that was Times Square in the early... Mm-hmm.
In the hooker days.
In the hooker days, like 90?
Yeah.
But like, you go and you're like, wow.
Pre-Giuliani.
Yeah. But like, you walk by now, and it's like, oh yeah, that McDonald's on 42nd Street's not there anymore. Nope. You know?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
And you know what's funny too, is like, did I ever tell you that was rated the cleanest McDonald's in New York City?
Because they had like 18,000 people working there.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny because like before it was McDonald's, it was a fucking brothel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And then burgers
and whores.
Burgers and whores.
I came for the beer and the bitches.
I came on the beer and the bitches.
Eesh.
I know. But you know what I mean? It's like, I still remember you and I walking through that McDonald's to get to Midtown Comics.
Yeah.
And all those like tired fucking Times Square Elmos and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
All the Huangs that we saw.
Do you remember the time we saw the life-size Peter Dinklage action figure?
Yeah. 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 That was great. That was great. It's fucked up, but it's great.
I'm almost positive I still got that in my head.
You know what's fucked up? I saw a joke that was fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
It was a meme, basically, of did you know that Peter Dinklage used to sell guitar picks for a living, and it was him with a shield? Fucking hilarious.
You sent me that and I'm like, that's just so wrong.
It's wrong, but so right at the same time.
Like, you ever see the picture that was floating around where it's like Peter Dinklage and his son on a moped?
No.
His son is twice his height.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And like,
well, I mean, one of the first thing I've ever seen him in was Elf.
Yeah, me too.
And oh, you have an elf here. You know,
So good, so good. Although, and then he's trying to get people. He's trying to get companies to not do the elf anything anymore. Like, oh, how do you expect fucking these little motherfuckers to live, dude?
Yeah. One of the greatest lines out of Elf though was when it was Kyle Gass from Tenacious D and Andy Richter. Mm-hmm. Asparagus children, self-conscious about the way their pee smells.
Yeah, it's great.
Uh-huh.
So, continuing with my horror 365, which we got into, which I started, but kind of segued into Peter Dinklage somehow. So as of this week, I've watched, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 movies. Nine movies since last Thursday. Starting with Hereditary.
Oh, God.
It is a fantastic movie. It is fucked up, but it is fantastic. I fucking loved it, dude.
I'm really not ever going to watch that movie ever.
Oh, that's totally understandable.
I mean, it's this, right? Wasn't it the same people that did Malignant?
No, I think the same person that did Midsommar.
Oh, either way, no.
I haven't seen Midsommar.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. But this movie was pretty, I loved it. I thought it was great. It's a fucked up story, obviously, but
I mean, I know about the young girl getting fucking beheaded.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, my head's out a window. Oh, hey, there's a pole in there.
But there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. The reason why she was doing that was because she went with her brother to a party that he was going to because his mom was like, yeah, like, you need to bring your sister with you because, you know, I want you to take care of her and we'll spend time with her or whatever. She has bad peanut allergies. So while they're chilling at the party, she winds up drinking some water. But the fact that her peanut allergies are so bad that just being around peanuts, her throat tends to close or whatever. So as it's closing or whatever, she goes to her brother. She's like, yo, like, my throat is getting tight. I can't breathe right now. And he's like, fuck. So he picks her up. He goes into the car and he starts driving. And she starts to freak out in the back seat. So she's freaking out and she's like kicking and screaming and shit to the point that she opens up the window in the back seat and she puts her head out the window. Cause she's like, okay, I could breathe a little, I could breathe a little. But then as they're driving, there's a deer in the road and he swerves and her head hits a fucking pole as they're driving. And then he freaks the fuck out, but he doesn't freak the fuck out and like starts kicking and screaming and shit. You could see his reaction to it is like, what the fuck just happened? And he's just like, I don't know what the fuck to do. So he drives home, leaves the sister's body in the car while he goes upstairs and tries to fall asleep because he's just in such shock that he's just like, what the fuck just happened?
So basically, she got beheaded, so her airways are now clear.
Yeah, completely clear now.
Completely clear.
Yeah. All clear. That's the title episode. All clear.
All clear.
But yeah, it is a fucked up story. Granted, it is a fucked up story. But it is a really good movie. Great acting. Toni Collette is fucking amazing in this movie.
Well, she's just great.
Yeah.
She could turn any piece of shit into good.
No, but this isn't a piece of shit, though. If it was a piece of shit, yeah, granted, yes, I'll agree with you. But it is a really good movie. Definitely worth watching. Especially if you're into like the horror shit, like I am. Another movie that I watched was Coherence, which is another interesting movie. Came out in 2013. And it's pretty much about one night that some shit happens in a house or whatever. There's a huge meteor shower and a bunch of people are like in a party or whatever. And shit goes down to the point that they're like, okay, we can't go out of the house. But they wind up leaving the house. But turns out that with the meteor shower, it winds up opening up different parallel dimensions. And you see different versions of these people in different houses. It just gets really weird. Really good shit, but very weird. Very good, like, horror, sci-fi, horror type shit. So it was a good watch. So that's Coherence. That's I saw that. I found that on Prime. Good shit. Yeah. Another one that I watched was The Invitation.
That's on Netflix right now. I've been interested in that.
The Invitation is actually pretty damn good. It is a slow burn because it starts off really slow. You're just like, where the fuck is this story going? Because it pretty much follows this one girl, this one black girl or whatever. Well, you see some shit happens in the beginning and some lady disappears because she kind of like hangs herself or whatever because she doesn't want to be in a fucking castle. Turns out that she's like one of her ancestors. She basically does one of those, you know, 23andMe's or whatever. And she winds up matching with somebody in fucking England. And the dude in England's like, I'm gonna be in the US and sometime soon, so let's hang out or whatever. So they hang out or whatever, and then they're like, there's a wedding happening sometime soon. You wanna come, you know, visit the family because it's your family, you're part of the family, so come over, you could check out the wedding, you could see, you know, the rest of your family and shit like that. And she's like, all right, cool, whatever. Why trust somebody that you don't know to go to a whole nother country? I don't know. But then she goes over there. She sees everything is weird. People are acting weird around her. And then as the story continues, shit happens in the house, in the castle, because it's essentially the castle. And it winds up becoming... Mind if I spoil it a little bit?
I don't care.
It winds up becoming a vampire story.
I had a feeling that's where this was going.
Yeah. The people that are that she's at the house are vampires. And the reason her ancestor left the place was because they were trying to force her to marry the head vampire who's trying to marry her now. So it's a really interesting story. It's a really fun movie. I enjoy the hell out of it, especially when she starts kicking ass and shit. It's a fun watch. I'll probably spoil it for anybody now, but whatever. It's been around for a little while. But if you're going to watch it, you can watch it still. It's still fun. Another movie that I watched was a very interesting movie. It's called Santa Sangre. I found that one on Screenbox. Screenbox is another streaming service for horror movies. And this one was an interesting one because, one, I didn't know anything about it. Second, it was in Spanish, which is totally fine. Because, like, I speak Spanish. But it's actually a really good movie. Very weird because it's all over the fucking... This one is literally all over the fucking place. It has a circus. Then it goes back and forth between time. There's a dude that's like perched on a tree. And then it goes back in time, and then you see a kid getting tattooed on his chest. A kid getting tattooed on his chest at like the age of 8 by the dude that runs the circus that turns out to be his dad. But then they're also like they're trying to tear down this church where the patron saint of this church used to be a whore that got her arms cut off. Weirdly random shit, dude.
Sounds it.
Yeah. But it winds up turning into like some Idle Hands type shit in the future. And it's just weird, but really well done. I like the hell out of it. Super fucking weird, like I said. But worth a watch. Santa Sangre is on a Screenbox. It should be in other places as well. Another one that I really fucking love. That's probably my favorite one of the week. Well, my second favorite one of the week. Housebound. Housebound was awesome. That one came out in 2014, and it's from New Zealand, and it's a horror comedy, so it's really funny, but it's also like kind of creepy at the same time. It has the horror feels, which is thumbs up for that shit. It's fucking good. And it kind of has to deal with they think at the beginning that it's a ghost, but it turns out being that somebody's living in the house that they didn't know for years.
Huh.
Yeah. The main reason why it's called Housebound is because the main character or whatever in this movie, she's like 16, 17 or whatever. But she at the beginning of it, she's fucking stupid, but it's fucking hilarious, is that she's trying to rob a bank. So they set up a grenade in an ATM, and the person that's trying to blow up the grenade with her fucking winds up getting hurt, and she winds up dragging him as well as the ATM, because the ATM actually didn't break the ATM. Funny as then she wound up getting caught because her car stopped working. Fucking hilarious. And then she winds up getting house arrest, which is why it's called Housebound.
Got it.
But yeah, it winds up becoming a home invasion type movie towards the end. But it is done really well. Very enjoyable. Very fucking hilarious. Some pretty dope kills. Definitely suggest watching that one. That one is definitely a good watch. Another one that I watched after that, it was called The Monster. I watched that one at work because I was like kind of bored, so I watched The Monster. This one came out in 2016. Not really notable characters or notable people in it. I found it on Pluto TV. Came out in 2016. It's about this mother-daughter relationship or whatever. And how it's a shitty relationship. Because, one, the mother's an alcoholic. And the daughter, of course, she's like, you know, like, fuck you, I hate you, or whatever. She literally says it in the movie. She's like, fuck you, I hate you, mom. And the mom fucking screams it back at her. It's fucking fucked up, but it's a fun movie until for some reason I don't understand why people just wind up driving at nighttime in the rain. And they wind up hitting this this wolf on the road, but they see that there's a lot more blood other than just from what they noticed, and shit just goes awry because there's a monster that's actually killing this wolf at the same time that they hit the wolf. And then this monster pretty much goes awry on anything and anything that tries to come to them to help them. So like they get fucking secret, like a tow truck to come fix the car, and the monster winds up killing the tow truck guy. And then he winds up fucking killing the fucking the EMS people and shit. It's fucking wild. It is a fun movie. It is a really fun movie. I enjoyed that one. Not as much as the other ones. I'm gonna say it's like a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Then the next movie I watched, I really enjoyed as well. That was The Witch. I've never seen The Witch until, what was it, yesterday? The day before yesterday? That was a really fun one. Old-timey, old English. Good shit dealing with fucking some fucked up storylines that's happened. This one kid just pretty much winds up disappearing from a family. Shit goes awry in the family as this happens, and then everything else just goes crazy. And they're blaming one of the girls or whatever, played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who we spoke about on last week's episode.
She's in everything.
Yeah. This was one of her first main big roles. She's really good at it. She's obviously a little bit younger. But because this movie came out, what was it, 2015?
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't watch this until this week, obviously. It's fucking good. Definitely just check that shit out. It's dark as hell. Of course, obviously, it's called The Witch because you do it witches in this movie. But it's good. It's a really slow burn.
It sounds very familiar, too.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. People have put it on their list and shit, and it's gotten a lot of recommendations, a lot of praise for doing what it did. That one, I believe, it was on HBO that I watched it. Another movie that I watched was a movie called Roh, or ROH. Technically, if the chain, translate the name of Roh, it's actually Soul. But this is actually a Malaysian movie. It's all in Malaysian, so you gotta read subtitles and shit. And this one is very similar to the Witch. Really good watch. This was actually nominated for like best international movie, I think it was, at the Oscars and shit a couple years ago.
Okay.
This is a really good watch. This is really good. This is of course it's another slow burn, but it's worth a watch. And then the last one that I watched actually earlier today was something that I was really looking forward to because I wanted to watch it years ago because this came out in 2013. This is a horror comedy called Hell Baby.
Oh.
Hell Baby was written by the dudes at the Reno 911.
Okay.
Yeah, so Ben Garant and fucking Thomas Lennon are both in this. Of course, they both wrote it, but they're both in it as well. They're both in it as priests.
God.
Rob Corddry is in it. He's the main.
Oh, God.
He's okay. Great. He's the main actor. Leslie Bibb is his wife, his pregnant wife.
Oh, my God.
Keegan-Michael Key is in this. It has a fantastic cast. Fucking the girl from Ricky Lindholm from what was it? Garfunkel and Oates.
Okay.
She's in it. Full frontal from her. But she's in it. It is a really, really fun movie. It has to do with a possession, like a not necessarily a possession, but it's a they wind up Rod Corddry and Leslie Bibb wind up buying a house in the middle of New Orleans that's pretty much considered a they call it a blood house, not because of the gang, but because of all the blood that's been shed in this house, and there's spirits in there, so it winds up eventually becoming a possession story. So you wind up getting like an exorcism towards the end, but it's a really fucking hilarious movie. I definitely suggest check that shit out. That one I believe is on Prime.
Nice.
It's funny. Typical fucking, like, if you really enjoyed like Reno 911 type shit, that's the type of humor you get in this. Real funny. I really enjoy the hell out of it. Definitely check that shit out. That shit is fun. And that pretty much wraps it up for the continuation of my 365, my horror 365 challenge. As of right now, where I'm 19 movies in.
19 movies in, and you're 7 movies ahead.
Yeah, 7 movies ahead of schedule, which is perfectly fine with me. I'd rather be ahead of schedule because there are going to be days like Monday, where I'm going to be working at the stadium pretty much. I'm going to be working pretty much all day. I'm not going to have time to watch shit.
Right.
So, and also like other days that like I just don't feel like doing shit, but I just want to sleep, or whether I'm going to be fucking like busy doing other things like recording or editing and stuff like that.
Right. You're basically like, you're basically ahead of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just making sure that, you know, I don't fall behind. Because falling behind would be bad.
Right.
And Mario's here. Hey, Mario.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. He said, let's go Cowboys. No Cowboys. Well, yeah, they're probably going to win on Monday, which is perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. As long as, like, I get paid, I don't care. But like I said before, I would like if they win, because that'll give me another couple more days at the stadium, a couple more days of actually making money. Right. But if they lose, it's cool. I'll be okay until Monster Jam. So I'll be all right.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're really into the horror movies and you want to actually continue watching the shit that I've been watching, you can find the list that, of my movies, just follow my Twitter. I pretty much go over every single one that I've been talking about. So yeah, it's all there. What else? So, I guess for a few things that we actually did get this week, some things that are somewhat noticeable, somewhat notable things for the Geek Shit for the week. It's something that I was kind of excited for, kind of like, I wonder what they're gonna do with this. But the fact that a long time ago they've been in the talks of possibly doing a Captain Planet, but not just Captain Planet, but Captain Planet with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Because he's basically the real life Captain Planet.
Yeah, he's our hero. And for some reason, it never happened, but it looks like it's moving forward because they're actually continuing to write this shit. So, how is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Because it could be interesting. Granted, I don't think anybody really knows what fucking Captain Planet is now, being that it's been like a bazillion years since the last time the fucking show was on.
Earth, fire, wind, water, heart.
Yeah.
I mean, and then that of the Don Cheadle Captain Planet.
Don Cheadle's, okay? Don Cheadle's.
Don Cheadle's. And also the fucking the Captain Planet of Robot Chicken.
Oh yeah.
With protect the planet or I'll fucking kill you, Captain.
Oh, that was great.
With Ted Turnips.
Yeah.
That's my name for Turner, Ted Turnips.
Yeah, I'll take it. That's cool. Ted Turnips. I like it. I think I'm gonna name the episode that, Ted Turnips.
Ted Turnips. Protect the environment or I'll fucking kill you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great.
Hey,
well, who do you think they would cast at the Planeteers?
Oh, I don't even know. But do you want to know who used to own WCW? Ted Turnips.
Yeah, Ted Turnips. Oh, the angry Ted Turnips.
Ted Turnips.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, like, I don't know who would be. Well, probably Leonardo DiCaprio would be part of it.
See, but I think if he would do anything, he would probably be the Captain Planet himself. I wouldn't see him playing anybody else. The reason why he wants to do it is because he wants to fucking be Captain Planet. He wants to save the planet. I mean, he wants to paint himself blue with fucking green hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's not just any sort of green hair. It's a mullet.
Yeah.
Because Captain Planet had the mullet. That was mullet era cartoon. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Tony mm-hmm. Stark in the 90s had a mullet.
Yeah. I think everybody back in the 90s had a mullet.
But if you think about it, like, Captain Planet and Tony Stark in animated form had mullets.
Yeah.
Superman, when he came back from the dead, had a mullet.
Yeah, he did.
So...
Mario would know.
Mario had a mullet in the 90s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, buddy.
Buddy!
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. He agrees. He had a mullet in the 90s, yeah.
You probably had a mullet in the 90s.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No?
I had curls like a motherfucker, dude.
Wait,
all the curls.
So, without sounding racist, anybody Spanish had either a mullet or curls, so you fell in curl category.
Yeah, dude. If you look at my beard, you see nothing but curls here, dude. So imagine all this curls up here where you see very little of now. But it was mostly fucking curls up there, dude. Yeah, I was a curly motherfucker, dude. But not like the super nappy curls. I had the nice curls.
No, you didn't have like
I didn't have the nappy curls. I had the good curls.
There's no other way to say it without sounding racist. So I'm just gonna say you had the other curl.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't need the soul glow.
Get your soul glow.
I had it naturally in my system.
Speaking of soul glow, I gotta say I was really offended that he did not come back for Coming to America.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric LaSalle, man, what the fuck are you doing with your career? You were in Logan. That was the last thing I saw you in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you were in Logan and your whole family got fucking slaughtered.
Uh-huh.
And then Logan killed you. Yeah. Well, the other Logan.
Did you have the perm curls, Mario? Is that what you had? Is that what you're trying to say? You had perm curls? You had perm curls and a mullet? Is that what you're trying to say? Is that what it is? Because that would be hilariously fantastic.
Proof or it didn't happen.
Let's see what he said. He said no. No. Whatever. It's okay. It's okay.
If that's not your LinkedIn fucking profile picture by tomorrow...
He said a friend did.
Was your friend also named Mario?
No, his friend's name is Wario.
Hmm.
I love it. Yeah. So Leo's doing. He said no. His friend's name was Luigi. Haha. That means it's your brother. This is your brother. Come on, guy. Get with the program, guy. And then I guess the last thing that we pretty much came up this week that was pretty fucking dope was a trailer for fucking Quantum Mania.
Which comes out in like less than a month.
Holy shit, that's right, it does.
Well, a little over. It's at the 17th. We're on the 12th.
Right whatever. Now. Whatever.
It's like in 3 weeks. Come on.
It's very soon. And I think I want to see this in theaters.
Oh, I'm totally seeing this in theaters.
I kind of do.
So I'm gonna do what I did with fucking with the whale. I'm gonna buy a small thing of vodka and go to the movie and pour it into the large Mountain Dew and have an adult slushy.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not, dude?
Because all the tears are gonna be shed with that, man.
Yeah. So let's watch the trailer.
Let's watch the fucking trailer.
Watch the fucking trailer.
You're an interesting man, Scott Lang. You're an Avenger. You have a daughter. But you've lost a lot of time, like me. We can help each other with that. Who are you? I'm the man who can give you the one thing you want. What's that? Time.
I can rewrite existence and shatter timelines. You cannot trust him.
I don't care who this guy is. I just lost so much. He can give us a second chance. Let me make this easy for you. You will bring me what I need. Or everything you call a life will end. You may not want her to watch this.
We had a deal.
You thought you could win.
I don't have to win. We both just have to lose.
This just looks fucking incredible, dude.
I mean, Scott Lang, all he did was fucking break into a house and steal a suit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's taken him on so many journeys.
But, yeah, it has. All I know is that, did you go into any history and see who's playing MODOK?
From what I hear, it's from the same dude that played fucking, the dude from fucking, from Iron Man, the actor dude that played in Iron Man, I forgot his fucking name.
It's the thing that I've seen in trailers and new rock stars and any breakdown is that Darian Cross from Ant-Man 1 went from playing Bumblebee or Stingray. What the fuck was his fucking name? Yellow Jacket?
Mm-hmm.
he's now MODOK. He got shrunk down into the quantum realm, and he's now MODOK.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, so now we know where he's been for 10 years.
That makes sense.
But I love that. I don't have to win. We just both have to lose.
Yeah. I love it.
And I'm scared Scott Lang's going to die, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I feel like Hank Pym's going to die.
Oh, no, the dude is, yeah, the dude, Corey Stoll.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be playing MODOK.
So, I feel like Hank Pym's going to die because...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because Michael Douglas is fucking old.
Yeah.
And I feel like we have a lot more Ant-Man stories to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And
but unless they're just trying to go forward with, you know, having the daughter actually do it.
True. I mean, those goddamn fucking MCU, like, head nod things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, those head butt things I do with Olivia all the time. I'm not ready to face my destiny in the fucking MCU.
Yeah. It's that whole fucking dealing with realism in these fucking movies. It's that shit.
Yeah, I'm getting good and drunk at Ant-Man.
Yeah, Mac, I will probably do the same thing too.
I mean, all I know is that I have my figure arts Ant-Man with the Scott Lang head sculpt that I think I want to start posing around. Because that's a figure where you could literally put him in anything.
Yeah.
In real life and go like, oh, yeah, because he's fucking, he could be tiny.
Yeah. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
But this looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it.
And
fuck, Kang looks awesome. Looks badass.
I want to see, forget about MCU stuff. But I need to see Jonathan Majors have a major career actor.
Yeah, no pun intended.
No pun intended. But the man is so fucking good.
Well, did Creed 3 come out already?
Soon.
Yeah, he's in that one too.
I know he's in that one. But like, forget about that. Forget about the MCU shit. But I want to see him just be in something. You know, whether it be like a standalone film or something in that realm, I need to see what he has in his arsenal because he's fucking great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I mean, in that one little scene on Loki finale scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him.
Mario and then, the Ocean was a good movie that he was in.
Oh, good to know. But then you see something like, he's just so good.
Lovecraft Country was sold me on him.
Oh, yeah, I never watched that.
It's fucking great, dude.
That's only the one season on HBO, right?
So far.
Wasn't that one of the things that was not getting renewed or whatever?
I don't know.
Well, either way, I think I'm going to go rectify that and watch that.
Yeah, that show is definitely worth a watch. He's really good at that shit.
He was one of the main people, right? Wasn't he the one on the
poster? He is the main character.
Okay.
Yeah. He's really good at that.
Yeah, I need to check that out.
Yeah, you need to do that. Do yourself a favor and check that shit out. Yeah. But this movie looks fucking dope, dude. Fucking... What does it say? February 15th?
17th.
Whatever. February something teenth. I'm excited for it.
My body is not ready.
Well, my body's ready.
My liver is not.
Yeah, fair, fair. But yeah, I'm ready for it, dude. I'm excited. Cannot wait. Give me more. Give me more of all the awesomeness. I'm down for it, dude. Anything else we want to add to the show? We haven't really had much, but
No, I really got nothing. I mean, we watched it. We watch a shit ton of fuck ton of shit.
Yeah. A fuck ton of shit, yeah.
I mean, to note what we started on before we recorded, shout out to Michelle Yao and Data for winning for
anything and everything all at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a great fucking movie.
It's the best non-Marvel multiverse film.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fucking fantastic.
So the actors, to like shorten it, they're literally calling it EEATO.
Okay. Everything and anything all at once.
Yeah.
I'd rather go with that, because as far as an acronym runs, I'd probably get all that shit fucked up anyway.
Yeah, me too. Shout out to Jeremy Allen White for winning for The Bear, because that show is great. You should watch that.
I think I might watch that soon.
It's like what, like 10 episodes or whatever, but it's such a great show.
Are they half hour episodes or full hour episodes?
They're like 25 minutes.
So like half hour episodes. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Like an FX show.
Yeah, it is FX, but on Hulu.
Okay, yeah.
Megan and I watched that in like 2-3 days.
Okay.
Like noted earlier, watch everything that we've been watching. I got nothing else.
Okay, cool. Like I said, I got a bunch of shit to watch. I watched a bunch of shit, so like I said, check out my Twitter feeds and you'll see all the shits that I got there. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys go check out everything and anything that we have sometimes over there at InterCityGeeks.net. We got a whole bunch of shit sometimes. Of course, we got this show. We got Suplex City Geeks sometime soon coming back eventually. Even though we did pretty much a whole segment on that, on this show.
It's sort of like the teaser into the next episode.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, truthfully, that show should be coming back tentative February?
Yeah.
We'll just go with that?
Yeah, we can go with that. That's fine. I'll take it. Oh, Mario just said that Shin Ultraman is awesome. Which is the Ultraman, the movie that came out in theaters. That will be coming out in theaters, I think. So he got a screener for it. Much like I get screening passes, he gets screening passes too. So perfectly understandable. Unless he actually paid for the ticket for it. Did you pay for the ticket, Mario? He will be answering soon, maybe, hopefully. But yeah, check out all the shit over there, InterCityGeeks.net. Of course, we have Bright Today Presents over there. We also got Comics Con Sabor, Manga Time, and Anime World. More episodes coming up very soon. And yes, he did pay for this tickets. Yes. Check out all the stuff over there. All the other links and everything, all there. Also, the links are in the description of the episode that you'll find on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, on Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. So you find all the links to all the places there. Then you get the links to all of them there, and then you also get coupon codes for most of them. So you get some pretty cool shit for cheaper prices. Because you doesn't like fucking dip counter prices, because I know I do. Then you can find the show on the Facey Space. So faceyspace.com/InterCityGeeks, on Twitter at InterCityGeeks, on Instagram at InnerCityGeeks. And where can we find you, Senor Bri?
You can check me out on both. Well, if you want to follow toy stuff, you can check out Bri 2J Presents on the Instagram and the Twitters. Check out Bri2JPresents.com. Check out Bri 2J Presents on YouTube. Those who have stuck with me through everything, thank you. Those who haven't, well, thank you anyway. But I've been going back into legit photography lately. And I want to give a shout out to Danny Roman for and successfully failing, for his inspiration on making me a better photographer by his eyes. Because and Danny, if you're not hopefully you're listening, you had a record-breaking, what was it, 8 days of sales in a row of your book on Sky Rats, and that's amazing, dude. So check out his stuff for all the great photography skills. But you've inspired me to be a better photographer, and I've been taking just sort of like in the moment shots.
Sometimes those are the best ones.
Yeah, so for that, check out just Bri2J on Instagram, and it's just my regular everyday boring life where I just literally take pictures.
Yay, boring life!
Yay, boring life! Yay! But, I have a ton of reviews lined up. When I get to them, I get to them. I don't care. You'll wait. It's fine. Where can I find you?
You guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitter at Mr. Jackal. MisterJackal. And that about wraps it the fuck up, you guys. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate the fuck out of you. We appreciate you sharing and all the other good shit. Makes us feel all nice and rubbly tumblies and tummies and shit, you know. Makes us feel great. I appreciate you guys. Don't be a dick, but always remember that the geeks chill and inherit the earth.